This is the news. Britain has experienced the worst riots since the bread riots of 1848, as the prices of fundamental staples such as Kinder snack bars, Haribo Tang Fastics, and Cadbury Twirls become out of reach for ordinary, hard-working Britons using our NHS. The shop Aldi has been forced to put security tags on not just Haribo Tang Fastics, but also fundamentals such as Haribo Star Mix in order to avoid desperate Britons who simply cannot afford staples of their diet stealing food. According to a spokesman for Aldi, we have never seen such desperate theft by ordinary, hard-working British people. People used to a diet of Haribo Tang Fastics, Haribo Star Mix and Kinder snack boxes, as well as a smattering of large boxes of Maltesers, have resorted to stealing the items and even sending in their children to steal the items to avoid prosecution. We do not know what we can do, and we cannot see how ordinary, hard-working Britons can survive this appalling cost-of-living crisis, added the representative of Aldi. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today, I would like to talk once more about the so-called cost-of-living crisis, which, as you know, I have termed the cost-of-decadence crisis and the cost-of-dysgenics crisis. And I would like to look at some more reasons as to why it's happening and what it really says about us. But before I do that, a quick word from our entirely non-decadent sponsor. Well, first, a word from our sponsor. Now, we are all truth seekers here at the Jolly Heretic Public House, but here's the problem, chaps. We can only get to the truth if we have multiple perspectives, if we have multiple interpretations, if we have access to the other side, if we have access to all viewpoints. Only then can we really understand what's going on in the world. And we are increasingly finding that we cannot do that. Information is blocked, websites are blocked, alternative perspectives are blocked. And so the only way around this, realistically, is some form of VPN. And as far as I can see, Atlas VPN gives you everything you can possibly need. There is currently a steal Black Friday deal going on in which you can get Atlas VPN Premium for just $1.70 per month plus 6 months extra with a 30-day money-back guarantee. This is the best VPN offer Atlas have ever done, and it's a time-limited offer, so it's time to get on with it, chap. It has all kinds of benefits to Atlas VPN. It's as I say, there's this offer of just this brilliant offer. You can unlock your favourite content from all over the world. If you can't access your favourite program or whatever, your Atlas VPN has got you covered. You can keep your Google searches secret and private using Atlas VPN. You can stop ads and malware. You can save money online. It will give you get you the best deals while shopping online, and it will all that kind of stuff. And you can protect unlimited devices using Atlas VPN. As I say, there is a fantastic offer on at the moment in which it's just $1.70 a month plus 6 months extra with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So this really is the cheapest and best way to get a VPN. We increasingly need VPNs. The truth is blocked. The truth is covered up. We can't get access to information. And in a society that's doing this to us, we need a VPN. And as far as I can see, Atlas VPN is where it's at, chaps. Okay, we're back in the room. Now, I just returned from the UK and I read the most fascinating article in the Mail Online, which was implying that the cost of living crisis has precipitated an increase in theft, essentially of fundamentals. But of course, for anybody with a modicum of intelligence, these are not fundamentals. The article related to a branch of Aldi in Catford in London, in which security tags, which you would normally put on high-end expensive items to avoid them being stolen. So these are tags, electronic tags, which will cause the an alarm to go off if you steal them and have to be physically removed by a member of staff, have increasingly been put on food. And the idea is that, well, this means that, you know, society is collapsing. How can we possibly be in a situation in which security tags have been put on food? But what kind of food have these security tags been put on? Well, they have been put on Kinder snack bars, which cost 85 pence, Haribo Tang Fastics, which cost £1, Haribo Star Mix, which also cost £1, Maltesers, boxes of Maltesers, which cost £2.25. And also, in some places, admittedly, on baby milk formula, on some kinds of cheese, on some kinds of butter, specifically Lurpak. Lurpak, by the way, costs £7.25 for a box of butter, on aerial washing up powder, which costs £5. And what the shops are saying is that there's been a substantial increase, an increase since June, of 18% in theft. And therefore, they are resorting to putting security tags on these items so that people that steal them are caught. And so that, of course, you are strongly discouraged from stealing them. The way that the article is framed is that this is evidence of the appalling cost of living crisis and that people cannot cope and they're having to steal in order to survive. But they're not. It's not a cost of living crisis. As I said, it's a cost of decadence crisis, because it's not as though these items are fundamentals. It's not as though people are stealing bread or stealing potatoes, stealing absolute fundamental items which they need in order to live, or they'll die. No. They are stealing what are essentially luxury items that nobody could possibly argue that they need. Nobody needs Kinder snack bars chocolate. Nobody needs Haribo Tang Fastics unless they're strongly addicted to sugar. Nobody needs baby milk formula, for goodness sake. You should be breastfeeding, and that's the healthy thing to do for the child. And if you look at the more fundamental things which they are stealing, that is to say, cheese, butter, and washing powder. Well, one could argue even washing powder isn't a fundamental. You can use soap. But anyway, what you find which is very interesting in this article in the Mail Online from the photographs is it's the middle shelf items, the more expensive luxury items that are being stolen. The Lurpak. Normal butter, that doesn't have a tag on it. The normal shop brand butter, that isn't, they're not worried about that being stolen. Oh, and Ariel, that's being stolen, but the more lower class Tesco sort of washing powder, Surf or whatever, that's not being stolen. So this is a crisis of people who cannot on the one hand, who cannot afford certain luxuries, so they say, certain nice things, and therefore they steal them. They feel that they have a right, essentially. They have got used to, their bodies, their minds have got used to certain pleasant, one would say, luxury items, and they can't afford them, apparently, and therefore they steal them. So this isn't a reflection of a cost of living crisis. This is a reflection of living standards having gone down for working class British people, and they feel a sense of entitlement. They feel that they deserve these things. They should have these things. Life has looked after them so far. The welfare state has looked after them and has given them everything they want. And they have got used to a certain standard. And what we have now is relative deprivation from a very, very high starting point. And therefore they feel they have the right to steal these little luxuries that they have become so used to, such as Kinder snack bars, Haribo Tang Fastics, Cadbury's Twirls, baby milk, expensive cheese, expensive butter, probably expensive kinds of milk that are high in fat or whatever, and the expensive kinds of washing powder that make it smell nice in a certain way. That's what we're talking about. So this is a cost of living crisis for them. This is a cost of living crisis for their very high standards. But is it really a true cost of living crisis where they really can't afford things? I don't think so, because nobody is putting security tags on bags of potatoes. Nobody is putting security tags on absolute or bread. Nobody is putting security tags on absolute fundamentals. So this is a matter of people simply being unable to psychologically cope with the fact that they don't have quite as much money as they used to have. And they should have been prepared for society, but of course things can only get better, in the words of New Labour, so they haven't been. They should have been prepared by society. All of our history prepares us for this. The Bible prepares us for this, that there are times of plenty and there are times of want. And in the times of plenty, you do not just spend all your money on holidays to the Algarve or whatever it happens to be. You save for times of want so that when the times of want come, then you are fine and you can get through it. Anybody with any knowledge of economics knows there will be times of plenty and times of want. But we have been inculcated with this idea. I personally blame Tony Blair, whom I blame for most things, things can only get better, that we have boom and bust under the Tories, and stable growth under New Labour. No, you don't. You have a massive boom and then a massive bust. That's always what happens. It will always be what happens. It is built into the nature of things that human beings will go through phases of having hormones and so forth that make them feel positive. This can't go on forever. And eventually there is a backlash and they feel negative. And when that is the case, then there is a crash. And when you have something like a war or whatever, then, of course, this is going to make it, and therefore supply chains, which are already quite fragile, are broken, then this is going to make it even worse. But that shouldn't matter, because in the times of incredible boom in the 2000s and so forth, and until relatively recently as well, then people will have saved for the time of bust. And so they'll all have enough and whatever. And so and not only that, they will have strategies to deal with solving problems. And therefore, even if they suddenly find they don't have enough money, they will come up with strategies to survive that don't involve stealing from other people. But of course, this isn't the case. They're not coming up with those strategies. Now, why is this the case? Well, the first reason is, as I say, as I've looked at a number of videos, is simply IQ decline. That the last time there was a serious, really serious economic crisis like this, when, by the way, living standards were much lower than they were now. I mean, when the miners were going on strike in the 1980s, in the early 80s, they didn't have money for food. They had to do things like burn their furniture in order to heat their houses, which were not centrally heated, by the way, with their fires. I mean, this was serious want. Whereas now you have people going on strike to the train drivers or whatever that earn about £80,000 a year, and they're going on strike for higher wages. Why? No one needs £80,000 a year. It's simply that they want to sustain the very high standard of living that they feel they are entitled to. But first reason then anyway is simply IQ decline. This, we know we are in dysgenics. We've been in dysgenics since about 1800. There is a negative correlation of about 0.1 or 0.2 between intelligence and how many children you have. The heritability of intelligence is about 0.8. The genetic component, I mean, is about 0.8 in adulthood. And the result of that is that intelligence is in decline by something like in the region of 2 points per decade. We lost about 15 IQ points between about 1880 and the year 2000, and we will have lost another few since then. So we're becoming less intelligent. This means that whatever the problem we are confronted with is, those that are at the bottom of society, those that are on benefits or whatever, who will have an average IQ of about 85 or 80, they will be less able to solve the problem. Now, some of them can, because you can go back to details from Victorian England. You had shepherds who were all earning the same amount of money. Some of those shepherds would save money and send their children to school. And some of those shepherds would never be up before the courts for stealing wood or poaching or whatever. And some of those shepherds would not send their children to school, so they'd just be illiterate and have not much of a chance in life, and they would be up before the courts for stealing wood or for poaching. But they're earning the same salary, and in some cases they're having about the same number of children. So there's something going on. And that is that the more intelligent shepherds are better able to manage their money. They don't just spend it whenever they have it. They don't just drink it away down the pub. And others are drinking it away down the pub. Probably that's the main explanation. And therefore, they're finding that when something goes wrong, they don't have enough money, and therefore they're in trouble. You have the same thing in communist Russia. Everyone earns the same salary, but some people save and therefore ultimately become rich. And even putting aside the corruption, controlling for all that, and other people just drink, just have all the vodka, and then that's it. Right. The second thing then is that you have an increasing reliance. We have a society where there is a safety. It goes from being a safety net in the form of the workhouse, something that you wouldn't want to go to. Nobody liked being in the workhouse, to a relatively luxurious safety net. You don't have to worry. Society will pick up the tab. Society will make sure that you don't starve. Society will make sure that you don't freeze to death. Society is there for you. So you don't really have to think about these things. You're used to being reliant on other people. You're not used to adversity. You're not used to bad things happening to you. You're not used to coming up with strategies to solve bad things happening to you. And therefore, when they do, your inclination is to just sort of put your head in the sand and hope it goes away. And of course, it won't go away. And therefore, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. People are not raised to worry, as perhaps they are in America to some extent, because they don't have proper healthcare there. They're not raised to worry about what will happen when things go wrong, because when things go wrong, the state will simply step in. Moreover, returning to the dysgenics issue, it's not just that we're selecting for low IQ, and therefore you have a growing underclass of people with very low IQ that wouldn't have existed 100 years ago. We're also selecting for poor mental health. Poor mental health correlates with low IQ, and it correlates genetically with it. Such people would have been selected out because of the correlation between poor mental health and poor physical health, called pleiotropy, that basically maladaptive genes correlate, and therefore such people would have died as children a couple of hundred years ago. But now those people have promulgated their kind, and therefore you have these people with poor mental health, and they're simply not adapted. They're evolved to an ecology where there is everything's around them all the time, and it's just an easy yet unstable ecology. That's what they're evolved to, and that's not the ecology they're in. They're in now, relative to what it was earlier, a harsh ecology that you've got to compete, you've got to strive. They're not used to that. They can't cope with that. That there's it's literally an extreme evolutionary mismatch. And so it's a bit like giving a dog a highly unpredictable environment. Such people will just collapse into it. They can't cope with it. And they would therefore rather kill themselves than actually come up with strategies to cope with it, even if they had the intelligence to be able to come up with strategies to cope with it, which they don't. The third thing is then cognitive stratification. Now, this is a particularly pernicious problem, which is that in a society, yes, you're going to have people here that are going to say, oh God, this society is so unfair. It's much less unfair than it used to be. In a society in which every attempt is made, you could never be perfect, but every attempt is made to have a meritocracy, then what you get is that the best people, the most intelligent and able people, are able to get to the top, and to attain a socioeconomic level which is consistent with their abilities, and the worst people will fall to the bottom and attain a socioeconomic level which is consistent with their abilities. And congruous with this, it has been shown that the heritability of socioeconomic status across multiple generations is about 0.75, which is telling you that there's something involved here which is almost certainly genetics. Now, what cognitive stratification does, of course, is it means that many generations ago, among the working class, let's say the 1920s, there would be some highly intelligent people who were capable intellectually of being lawyers or doctors, but were chimney sweeps, let's say, and were held back by the unfair, class-driven, nepotistic nature of society. Now, those people would intellectually stimulate other people around them who were just working class because they were of low IQ and low conscientiousness and low mental stability and whatever. And they would bring them to their phenotypic maximum intelligence level, thus helping even those people to solve problems. Not only that, but those people who should be lawyers or doctors but were in fact chimney sweeps, would be able to solve the problems that with which they were confronted, and other people would see what they were doing and would imitate them, and therefore the whole class would have been better at solving problems during a context of economic downturn. Now, and similarly, you would get, let's say, somebody who is capable of intellectually being a doctor, and he'd be working in a postal sorting office. If something goes wrong, then that person can solve the problem. And therefore, nothing goes wrong. Now, those people are not there. those people are likely to be doctors and lawyers, and the people that are working in the postal sorting office, though there may be exceptions, probably Eastern people from Eastern Europe or something that have come to the UK, will not be able to solve the problem, and therefore more things will go wrong. But it also means that there's nobody in that community of working class people to help you solve your problem and to help people that aren't particularly intelligent to deal with the situation. So therefore it just collapses into people's total catatonia, just inability to deal with the situation. And so what they will resort to is impulsive activity and basically just stealing. They want these things. They cannot come up with a way of getting the result. And it's not desperation, remember, it's just wanting a certain lifestyle to get their Tangfastics or their Maltesers. And so they have to steal them. But what makes it even worse is the cognitive stratification has become a geographic stratification. So the area that I mentioned, Catford in London, is a very poor area of London. And in general, there's no problems in, in Chelsea or whatever of this kind. It's in certain areas of the country, Blackpool, places like this, because cognitive stratification has led to all the intelligent people leaving every generation at these kinds of places and making their way towards basically the southeast or towards certain large cities, leaving only those that have low intelligence, poor mental health, and poor moral character, living in these places. And so, of course, those people don't know what to do. They can't cope. And so, of course, what are they going to do? They're going to end up stealing. So the cognitive stratification has made it considerably worse than it would otherwise have been. And finally, as I say, it's just the issue of decadence. This is not a serious crisis by any normal standards. We have done all kinds of things decadently to bring this about for ourselves. The cost of heating. People are going on about this. Well, only a decadent society would build houses that are completely reliant on central heating. Any sensible society would have a backup, which would be that there are fireplaces. In much the same way that no sensible person would not have in their house some candles or some torches to use if there might be a power cut. People who are intelligent and who look to the future and so forth will prepare themselves for the possibility of negative things occurring and will be ready when those things occur because they will think about lots of different possibilities. People that have a low IQ generally hubristic will not do that. And that's what we've done. So that's one of the reasons why we have this this crisis is because we have allowed ourselves as a highly decadent and hubristic society to be completely reliant or heavily reliant for food and for fuel on an unstable area of Europe. And therefore, when that area reverts to type, then we are in serious trouble. Well, we should never, ever, ever have done that. We should never have relied on Russia, and we should never have relied on the Ukraine for food. We should never have done that, but we did. And so we are seeing the problem with supply chains, and we are seeing food prices going up. We have lived in the now and not thought about the future. We have been decadent, and we are paying the price for this now. And you would expect a more intelligent society to not do that, and you would expect a society that had higher moral character to not do that, but that's exactly what our society has done, and now we are paying for it. But we are not really paying for it, because if you actually look at for example, the cost of the food, Haribo Tangfastics, £1. Well, they cost £2 here in Finland. They cost the equivalent of £2, and people aren't stealing. And there are all kinds of ways to save money if you think about it. When I was in the UK, I went to a Wetherspoons pub. A pint of Green King was, I couldn't believe it, was £1.59. I said to the barmaid, "What's wrong with it?" She said, "Nothing, it's just how we price it." A pint of Green King, £1.59. So go to the, if you're cold, turn your heating off, go to the pub and drink a pint of Green King, rather than paying more than that to drink a can of the stuff at home. The prices in England are unbelievably low compared to other places. Half what they would be in Finland. And yet people in Finland are not stealing. Possibly in part because people in Finland are, I think, higher in agreeableness, higher in conscientiousness and higher in IQ. And also more bunched genetically. And so therefore you don't get an extreme higher class, but you also don't get an extreme underclass. So there's probably reasons for it. But the key point I want to make again is this is not a cost of decadence crisis. This is not a cost of living crisis. cost of decadence crisis, cost of dysgenics crisis, cost of Haribo Tangfastics crisis. This is the collapse of civilization as they know it. And civilization as they know it is one in which luxuries are everyday items.
Hello, hello, hello! The Jolly Heretic is an online public house which meets on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss the kind of based, fearless science which is increasingly expunged from our woke joke universities. If you would like to help the Jolly Heretic public house, and there are many ways you can do so, please, please, please become one of my patrons on Subscribestar. Also, if you want to, you can donate to the channel using Odyssey and Entropy, and you can also purchase Jolly Heretic merchandise such as shirts and mugs. All of the links are in the description. Again, I'd be most violently grateful if you could assist the Jolly Heretic Public House, and I will see you all soon, and goodbye!